world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, please forgive my black glasses. I got the new glasses I put on today. I get them from like $1.20. I buy them in bulk. So they're not real classy, but at least I can see. And I have the hardest time realizing I'm 73. Do anybody remember when 73 was really, really old? And I don't feel really, really old. But my eyes tell me that my legs tell me I'm getting old. And so I'm sorry if these look corny, but it's the easiest way. I got another pair here I can put on. I got another pair here. I got another pair. I got glasses in it everywhere. So hey, December 20th, local people in particular, Sky High, we're having an event. Thank God for Glenn for putting this whole thing together. We would love for you to be able to come. I don't, can you just put that in the chat? Cause I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. We want local people. If you want to drive in all the way from Detroit, you can do that. But this is for local people only. And it's just for us to get together and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So the information is right there. It's in the chat now. And just let Glenn know if you're coming. And 4 o'clock, and we'll get together and bring a potluck or bring whatever you want. We'll sit around, tell some lies and tell some stories, and nothing real formal going on, just to get together. So I'm sorry it's so late getting out, because today, I mean, it's a couple of days, right? But just a lot of stuff going on here. So let Glenn know if he can make it. Let me ask you something. I got some great stuff I want to get into today. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? I mean, I just love the Holy Spirit. And I want you guys to know this. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you? Do you hear his voice? Now, here's what I've, in my own life, okay? In my own life, here's how I learned, here's how listening to his voice, how I got sharper listening to his voice. One word, obedience. You hear his voice, you acknowledge it, and you do it. When Jesus Christ was changing the water into the wine, his mother went to the disciples, the people who were having having the banquet, and she knew he was a wild and crazy guy and he was going to do something. And she went to all the servants, she said unto them, whatever he says unto you, do. You talk about a principle by which you want to grow spiritually. Whatever he says unto you, do. And I'm going to tell you this, the more you obey that voice, the more clearly you'll hear it. Did you hear that, Ray? The more you obey the voice, the more clearly you will hear it. All right? I'm just telling you. So those who worship the Lord must worship him in spirit. Spirit. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a human form. He doesn't have a body like we have. It's the Holy Spirit. The entire Christianity changed when God sent the Holy Spirit, a comforter. Comforter. And by the way, he couldn't send the comforter. Oh, this is theological, but let me get it out of me. He couldn't send the, excuse me. He couldn't send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, until Christ is gone. Christ went into the grave. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. I'm kind of quoting scripture off the top of my head here. He says, it's good for me that I go away. Good for you that I go away. Because if I go away, another one's going to come. And he who was with you, excuse me, is going to be in you. Everybody agree with that? That's what the word says? He who was with you is going to be in you. Why? Because God is a spirit. We're a spirit. We're a spirit. But when we get born again, we get a rebirth into a new spirit, right? Christ in me, the hope of glory. How can Christ be in me? He's a spirit. Bible talks about it being breath. You breathe it in. And I've said this story, told this story many times. I can tell you right now, when the breath of God came into me, I could, January 28, 1978, I can tell you right when it happened to me. And I say to others, it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. I was in that phone booth. The Holy Spirit dialed my number. I answered it, and I have never been the same. You never convinced me that didn't happen. And I didn't immediately become a, what do they call it, a charismaniac, going around babbling in tongues and casting out. I didn't do any of that. But I knew that the Holy Spirit had come and had dwelled inside of me, and something was different about me. About me, something was different about me. Because why? I renewed my mind. I had the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit in me. Now, that didn't make it all of a sudden easy, because I still had this carnal nature. I still wanted to do what my natural man wanted to do, but now I had a buffer. Now I knew, don't do that. Why? Because that small, still voice said, and the more you learn to listen to that small, still voice, wow, the more effective you are going to be. And how many times in your life have you done something stupid, and when it was done, you said, dang, I knew better than that. That's the small, still voice. Oh, my goodness. The crap they teach us that really doesn't have anything to do. Okay, so I'll make some notes here, okay? What is time? What is time? I said to Michelle this morning, I love her more than anything in the world. How long have we been married? And she said, 43 years. What? Oh, she yelled at me. 46 years. 46 years. Where did it go? Anybody say amen out there? 46 years. What is time, folks? What is time? And even though my body's starting to break down, and although I haven't really had great success with getting rid of that stinking gout, although my body seems to be given out, I'm more alive than I've ever been. The man in me, my spirit man's more alive than ever. But my natural body is failing me. Anybody say amen? Understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Can I tell you this? I'm going to use a dirty word here, okay? We'll use a dirty word. The older I get, the more I get to know the Lord, the less I give a shit about what others think.
Boom.
Huh? Is that a boom? Is that a boom? I'm sorry I used that S-H-I-T word, but that is just the truth. And thank God I'm delivered from that man-pleasing spirit. Dude, if you don't like it, don't eat it, all right? If you don't like it, don't come around. But if you don't like it and you want to leave, then you better ask yourself why, because I'm going to tell you this. It probably ain't me. It ain't me. I'm not the one that's troubling you. No. It's what I say, and then the Holy Spirit whispers to you, and you don't like it. Okay, so anyway, what's time? Jim Croce, if I could put time in a bottle. How many of you look back over your shoulder and say, man, 1968, boy, I remember I did this, and 1964, I did. Well, what is time? So time must have a beginning, and time must have a present, and time must have a future. Does time have an end? What is time? Well, we know in this natural realm that we live in, it's done by the sun. Sun goes up and sun goes down. Days and hours. We understand how we measure time. Where? Somebody help me out. Where's yesterday? Where is yesterday? I have the memories of it, but where is it?
Do you hear it, Coach? It's in our memory. It's in our memory, Coach.
It's in what we would call our memory. It's in our mind. It's in our essence of who we are. But man, oh man, we don't get it. is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Folks, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to leave this body. I'm going to live forever. Because wait a minute. What's forever? What's forever if you're outside time? There ain't any time. Where God is, there ain't any time. There's no measurement of time. So that stuff all baffles me. I think about that. My resident pagan Stephanie says amen because she understands it, right? We don't understand that. We don't understand that. And none of us understand why we respond to the way we do the things, because we don't understand the importance of what was said to us and done to us. And we cannot stop carrying those burdens from the past. That when you're a little kid, your dad was mean to you and said, now you have an inferiority complex. Or you guys, you understand what I'm talking about, right?
But we the question becomes,
where's time? Where is time? Where is it? Okay, so I want to throw you some things here. Building on yesterday, the kingdom of God from yesterday, which I thought was really, really good, and I think we need more of it. And again, I want you to know this. I'm clicking here a second. I ain't no theologian. I'm not a theologian. I can't do hermeneutics and hermeneutics and shemeneutics. I can't do any of that stuff. But I can read, I can think, and I have the Holy Spirit. You guys remember this in the book of Acts? I don't know where it is. By the way, you're right now watching the Holy Spirit at work. Right now. Because the Holy Spirit's giving me thoughts. That's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit comes to you in thoughts. And then you respond to the thoughts. That's why the Bible says, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it in captivity. Because why? Because in the spirit realm in which we live, there are good thoughts and there are bad thoughts. There are good guys and there's bad guys. There's natural man and there's spiritual man. And that's why we have to understand, begin to understand the ability to say, no, I'm not doing that. Or yes, I am going to do that. Yes, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to, oh, this is, man. So, I got so much. Help me here, Lord. Help me here, Lord. Pull up number four. Because we were talking yesterday about the kingdom of God, and I want to stay on that. Hey, Ray, that was pretty good, wasn't it, yesterday, the kingdom of God? It's not someplace you're going to. It's someplace that's come into you. Difference in those two things, okay? So, let me ask you this. Are you a peacemaker or a peacekeeper? I'm just going to stop right there a second. I want you to think about your life. Think about your life and where you are. Are you a peace? Because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not peacekeepers. Not peacekeepers. And how many of you out there, including me, struggle with that? Well, am I going to say that? Honey, don't say that at the party tonight. Come on, you're just going to stir it up. I mean, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And I usually say it and stir it up because why? I am a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. They are not the same. And most Christians have been trained to be peacekeepers. Don't make waves. All right? So what is the difference here? Blessed are who?
Peacekeepers.
No,
peacemakers, I'm sorry.
Peacemakers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so listen, I live with a peacekeeper. It's called Michelle. Oh, honey, don't do that. Because why? She just wants everybody to get along, love everybody, and blah, blah, blah. Well, she married the wrong guy because I'm a peacemaker. You understand what I mean?
Awesome.
I'm a peacemaker. I don't say, well, that's okay. Let's all just get along. Why can't the gospel of Rodney King? No. No, I'm a peacemaker. That's wrong. You're wrong. Straighten out. That's my coaching, right? That's my coaching. I would not have been a good football coach if I was a peacekeeper. Want everybody to be happy and everybody get to do whatever they want to and just have a good old I would have lasted about 10 minutes in coaching because coaches are peacemakers. So what is the difference? What's the difference? Scroll down here a little bit. Scroll down a little bit here. Difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Michelle, are you listening? Okay, now can, I don't know if you can make it any bigger. I'm going to roll through this real quick, Johnny. What's the difference between a peace? What's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Because the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," huh? Because they'll be called the children of God, not the peacekeepers. Because the peacekeepers don't want to make any waves. They don't want to make any waves, and that's how we got so much poison in our churches, because the churches are full of peacekeepers.
Boom.
We love everybody. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so what's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Now ask yourself as we go through this, try to identify yourself. Try to identify yourself. Peacekeepers avoid disruption. They keep quiet to keep calm. Even if lies or manipulation are swirling underneath, they don't say a word. Peacemakers confront gently but firmly. They're willing to face discomfort to bring healing and clarity. They love truth more than comfort. Uh-oh, there it was. They love truth more than comfort. Now, here's, I love my wife. We're different people. We're different people. She loves comfort. She would rather, why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just get along? And so we come into an environment and I say, I want to stop it. And she says, no, don't you with me? With me? We're a great mix, by the way. Great mix. Why peacemaking is hard? Peacemaking is hard. Why? Because a peacemaker doesn't mean being, it means being a peacemaker doesn't mean being confrontational. It means being courageous. Wow. See, courage brings conflict.
Boom.
By the way, one of the reasons they hate Trump so much. Huh? You don't have to agree with him, but he ain't no peacekeeper, is he? He ain't no peacekeeper. Okay. So peacemaker doesn't mind being confrontational, means being courageous. Ask hard questions that expose hidden truths. This is how you know whether you're a peacemaker or not, okay? Ask the tough questions. Clarify what's happening, even if it causes temporary tension. See, I don't want to bury the Israel issue. I want to talk about it. I don't want to bury the Jewish issue. I want to talk about it. Disrupt. A peacemaker disrupts emotional manipulation with calm honesty. How many times it's my nature have I said, hey, Ray, this is my show. Why? I'm the peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Okay? But those who are naturals, but those are the natural wrestlings of a person who carries both compassion and conviction. Someone who loves people enough to say, dude, you better stop that. You better stop that. Huh? What's the worst thing you can ever hear when you say about a situation, I saw that one coming. And you didn't do anything to prevent it because you're a peacekeeper. That would be a boom. That would be about 30 thumbs up. And how many times in your life do you say, daggone, I should have said something? You guys ever done that? I should have said something. Well, peacemakers say it. They say it. And then they let the chips fall wherever they will. Okay? So a real life reminder, peacemakers or peacekeepers, look, protect appearances. Peacemakers protect people's future. So I'm going to say, as a peacemaker, you keep doing that, and this is where you're going to get, all right? That's a peacemaker. A peacekeeper, don't say anything. David, don't say anything about it. You understand? Are you guys with me? Don't. Coach, don't go. So, see, people don't want, some of my family don't want to come to our Christmas vacation because why? I'm a peacemaker. And my wife says, honey, can you just bite your tongue? No, I can't bite my tongue. Because why? I see where it's heading. And I want them to have peace. And the only way they're going to have peace is if I tell them the damn truth. Wow. So ask yourself these questions. Am I keeping peace to avoid discomfort? Or am I making peace to establish the truth? Man, that's a good one, isn't it? Am I keeping peace to avoid discomfort or making peace to establish the truth? So can I give you an example? Pick up your toes. So you want the blessing of God in your life? And get married. Quit living with her. Truth or not? Yeah. And they'll give you all kinds of reasons. Well, you know, I can't coach. We can't get dude, listen. You're living in adultery. Stop it already. That's a peacemaker. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Have I ever sacrificed long-term healing just to keep the peace now? I look at things going on in my life and those associated with my life, and I say, damn it, I knew I should have done that. Thinking about something 3 years ago that I didn't do that I should have done. Somebody give me a thumbs up so you know what I'm talking about, huh? Right? Because you reap what you sow. Reap what you sow. Do I speak the truth in love, or do I stay silent in fear? Oh, my goodness, is that a boom? Is that ever a boom? I think I'm keeping the peace because, see, I want to be a peacekeeper. God bless. I love my wife so much. I love so much. I do, because she's a peacekeeper. She's a peacekeeper. And see, one of the problems we have is I'm a peacemaker, so I know that when I speak and make the truth, she's going to suffer because she's a peacekeeper. Why can't we all just get along, right? Honey, don't say that. She doesn't say that to me, but that's not it, right? Honey, don't say that. You're just going to ruffle feathers. Damn it. Feathers need to be ruffled. You with me? Right? I'm a peacemaker. And then it gives you a courageous prayer for a peacemaker. Father, I don't want to just keep things quiet. I want to walk in truth. Give me the clarity to discern when to speak and when to stay silent. Let my motives be pure, my words be seasoned with grace, and my spirit remain grounded in love. Did you ever say, I should have said something? Damn it, I should have said something. Huh? Come on. When you call me to step in, help me not shrink back in fear or doubt. I don't want to be led by emotions or pressure, but by your wisdom and your timing. Use me as a vessel of peace, not surface peace, but the kind that heals. Strengthen me to stand for what is right, even if it costs me comfort. Help me see every assignment clearly and carry it out courageously in Jesus' name. See, the truth hurts. The truth hurts. But the only way you can bring correction is to speak the truth. Speak the truth. I don't want you to think I'm sucking on my thumb. Do you have any idea how many people don't come into Coach Dave Live every day because they got their feelings hurt? They couldn't confront the truth. All right. That's good, isn't it? Huh? That's good. Now, I want to go to number four. I said, okay, can I do a little bit of coaching here this morning? So that's what I want to do. I want you to be effective and fervent in what you do, okay? Friends, listen to me. This is so critical. You have to learn to pray the word. Let that sink in. Can I give you an ineffective prayer? You ready? Here's an ineffective prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know the situation Tommy's going through. And you know, Tommy was such a good little boy when he was young. And then, I don't know, he fell in. We went to college. He got in with the wrong crowd. And now he's not even doing anything he wants to. Oh, Lord, just bless Tommy. Folks, that ain't warfare. That ain't prayer. Huh? That ain't prayer. So what you need to do is you need to find the scripture and pray the scripture. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Whatever that situation may be, you need to launch on that. Launch on that. Lord, You don't say, oh, please, please heal David Arthur's mom, which, by the way, she didn't have to have surgery. Great news. No, praise her. Lord, you said that healing is the children's bread, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, according to your word, that from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, she be made whole, according to your word, rather than, oh, Lord, please touch her and heal her. Fight with the word. You know why you can't fight with the word? Because you don't know it. Am I doing okay, Ray? You're right in the middle of my screen. Am I doing okay, Ray? I'm trying to coach you. Get as mad as hell as you want. Now, I don't care what it is. Find the scripture and latch on to it. And I don't care if you have to pray 1,000 times. Lord, you said, can I use an example? Lord, you said that little Declan, when he was in the hospital, was fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord. Oh, Lord. You said that healing is the children's bread.
Hallelujah.
So Lord, we just pray healing, bread of life, into that boy.
Hallelujah.
You don't beg God. You remind him of his word. It's the weapon Hallelujah. Of your warfare. And it's mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. And I hate to tell you this. Some of your prayers never get above the ceiling of your house.
Right.
Because you're telling God about your problems, and you're supposed to tell your problems about God. Lord, you said to train up a child in the way that he goes, and when he gets old, he will not depart of it. And Lord, we trained him up in the way he should go. And Father, your promise is he will not depart. He will come back. We believe that in Jesus' name. That's how you pray. Got you with me? Do they teach you how to pray? Now, I'll go to my Catholic training. I'm not bashing on Catholics. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not to temptation, but lead us in you. Hail Mary, full of grace. Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, be with us sinners now. And hour of our death. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what power is there. Anybody know what power is in there? Anybody have any idea? We're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we have to see a situation that's going on and say, what does God say about that situation? And then say what God says about that situation. Whatever it is. It's a weapon. It's a knife. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. Find a scripture and land on it and keep reminding the Lord, no matter what, if it's the only scripture you know, keep reminding him of his word. Why do we pray the scriptures? It builds faith. Faith comes by hearing. And not just hearing, hearing the word of God. Faith comes a hearing. When you pray God's word, you remind yourself of what's true, even when your emotions say otherwise. Betty, give me a thumbs up on that, right? Quit telling the Lord your problem. He already knows it. Why do you pray the scriptures? Because it keeps your prayers focused. It's a knife. It's a sword of the Spirit. Ever start praying and suddenly you're thinking about your grocery list or errands that you need to run later in the day? I can totally relate. However, scripture can help center your focus. You can be driving down the road and said, Lord, you promised me that my seed, oh Lord, that my seed would be blessed. Father, and I believe that even right now, that blessing would fall upon Zach and it'd fall upon Adrian, fall upon Abby, Morgan, Isaiah and Maggie, Lord, your word says that they will be blessed, and we're claiming it in Jesus' name. You do that? What does his word say? It aligns your heart with God's will. God's will, does anyone know what God's will is? God's will is that none would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you pray that? over your lost children. God, your word says that your will is that none would perish. And right now, my son is perishing, Lord. He's perishing. But you said that none would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And we're standing on that promise in Jesus' name. You can whine and moan and groan all you want to. If you're in a war, you better learn to use your weapon. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare ain't carnal. And some things you can't do anything about. It's a spiritual fight. Weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strong ones. Lord, you know what happened to Joey when he went to college and he got on drugs and he just hasn't been the same since he got on drugs back then. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would touch Joey. Oh, come on. You're wasting your time. Pray the word. What does the word say about the situation? What does God say about the situation? Pray that over your children and over your situation. I'm not mad, and I'm not trying to be bossy. So how do we pray the scriptures? Read it. Start by reading a passage slowly. Let it sink in. What's God saying here? So look, to take a scripture. Daddy, am I doing okay? Is this okay? I mean, is anybody picking this up other than me? So I see my grandchild sick. I see my wife sick. I see what? Latch on to scripture. Lord, you said they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, you said that healing is Michelle's bread. She's a child of yours, Lord, and we believe what you say, and healing is her bread, and we declare to be healed in Jesus' name. You have to apply what he says, not what you think. And I don't care whatever the scripture is, you can apply it. Find a scripture that you can apply and apply it everywhere. Lord, you said that your will that none would perish, that all would come to the knowledge of truth. Lord, reign in so-and-so. Lord, make yourself real in them, Lord. Not now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to die. What? Where does that kind of... What? Because of the effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer. So examples of praying the scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests unto God. Lord Jesus, you know the situation we find ourselves in. And Lord, you know that the spirit of anxiety has come over me. And Lord, I don't want to have that spirit of anxiety. And you told me not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And Lord, we love our children, and we know that you love them too. Father, we just pray that your salvation would come into them in Jesus' name. Pray what he said about it, not what your emotions are telling you about it. Take captive every thought. Before you start praying, can I say the truth here? Because sometimes I get around people praying, and you know what I think? Wish the hell they'd shut up. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That ain't a prayer. That's a complaint list. That's a nothing. You aren't asking anything. You're telling God about everything that's going on. He already knows it. What's the solution here, Lord? What's the solution? So if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generous. Lord, give me wisdom in this situation, Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know anything. But I know that you are, oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, you're the great physician. Lord, show me what to do. Move in this situation according to your power in Jesus' name. That's how you pray. Oh, Lord, poor Timmy. You know, ever since Timmy was raised, he was always just an outcast and nobody loves him. Father, if you need wisdom, I don't know what to do, but I believe you give wisdom generously. Please guide my steps and give me clarity, Lord. Lord, you said the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Lord, help me to learn how to wield those weapons, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, you get the point, right? You get the point. I could go on. There's a few scriptures to start with. Huh? No matter what the situation is, pray God's word about the situation. Tell your problem about God. Don't tell God about your problem. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He said, all power is given unto me. Do we believe that? No, we believe the doctors. Lord, give me a godly doctor. And Lord, if the words that he says to me are not of you, Lord, block those words, Lord, and help me grab a hold of the truth. Let your spirit guide me into all truth in Jesus' name. Pray his word. Don't go to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. Oh, Lord, I know I'm just... Stop it. You're a child of the king. Act like it. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but these demons are getting after me, Lord, and you're my daddy, and you're the king of kings, and show me what it is you to have me to do in this situation, in Jesus' name. Come on in, Ray. That's a boom, by the way. Is that a boom? Come on. Ray, we can't hear you. You're still muted. Still muted.
Sorry about that. Yeah, you touched on it earlier. James chapter 5, 16, when you said the effectual, effective, effectual.
That's right.
Wow, how does it become effectual? It's a fervent prayer. And who's it made by? It's made by a righteous man. Who's a righteous man? It says he that's following in the truth of the gospel with a repentant heart and clean. He can't be watching pornography Saturday night and expect Sunday morning to be blessed by the Lord. So that's your fervent prayer. I just watched a YouTube yesterday of a ex-witch. She says between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, they're called into action. They're called to go into Christians' homes and disrupt them through the spiritual realm. They're effectual and they're fervent. Do we do that?
No.
That's what we need to do in order to. And another thing, Jamie Walden's movie, showed God Bring Down Your Glory, is available. There is a righteous man that prayed for his son's healing. I encourage everybody to go watch that movie. It's available now on YouTube. So that's it in a nutshell for me.
We're untrained. We're untrained, folks. We're untrained. Right, by the way, there's a few scriptures to start with. Psalm 23. Pray Psalm 23 over your situation. Pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 over your situation. Pray the word over your situation. Don't tell the Lord what you think about it. Don't tell your Lord what the doctors have said about it. Don't tell your Lord what the principal said about it. Tell him what his word says about it. That's how we fight. That's how we fight. Pull up for me quickly. Go ahead, I'll let James get in there. And then I want you to pull up number... go ahead, and I'll figure it out. Go ahead. Come on in, James.
Praise the Lord. Speak to that mountain, brother. Speak to that mountain. That's what Jesus said. You got a symptom and the devil's throwing stuff at you. Speak to the word to the mountain.
Man. His words. Speak his words to that mountain.
That's right. So, you know, and also it says in Philippians 2:14, really 13, 14, 15, but I'm just going to read 14. Just do all things without grumbling and disputing. So when you go to the Lord and you complain about your problems, you're really complaining to him. When he's already given you the authority to deal with them, it's all they are. Like if you have a pain that comes up and it's a symptom and it's kind of like an attack. So how do you deal with attack? You give him healing scriptures. That's how you do it, brother.
That's right. That's right. They call it the weapon. It's a sword of the spirit. It cuts and dices.
Amen.
Right. It's a sword. It's a sword. Hey, Johnny. I wanted to say Spencer. I didn't even look. Johnny, pull up number 3. It's pretty good, isn't it, folks? No, that wasn't what I wanted. Number 3. There you go. When's the last class you had on this? huh? And your big evangelist fish with the smoke machines and the music and dancing and waving the flags. When's the last time you went to church and it really trained you in righteousness, what the Bible says? The Bible describes the spiritual realm as the unseen reality that coexists with the physical world. Remember the picture of the tank yesterday, fish tank? Inhabited by spiritual beings. There is around us a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. What? I'm telling you. Angels and demons, and emphasizes the importance of spiritual warfare and faith. So, what about the existence of the spiritual realm? By the way, put this in the chat. The Bible teaches that there is a spiritual realm that is not visible to the human eye, but is just as real as the physical world. This realm includes both good and evil entities, such as God, angels, demons. For instance, Ephesians says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Folks, it doesn't say we don't wrestle. It doesn't say we don't wrestle. It tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against... If Betty and I get in an argument, I don't argue with Betty. I argue with the principalities and powers that control them. Come on. For we don't wrestle... I don't wrestle against blood, Betty. But I wrestle against what's controlling Betty. Or she's wrestling with what she thinks is controlling me. If it's a spiritual battle, what? Where are thoughts coming from? Why did you do that? Against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, we talked about that yesterday. Heaven is a place, it's a realm, it's a place you go. But heaven is a realm that comes. Thy kingdom come. We're supposed to be expanding the kingdom, the realm. The role of angels and demons are depicted as God's messengers and servants, actively involved in the lives of believers. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So you pray to the Lord, "Lord, we need healing," and boom, an angel's dispatched. That's the way I understand it. That's the way I understand it. And then you get halfway through and you lose your faith and gone. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Conversely, demons are often described as fallen angels who rebelled against God. And seen in passages like Isaiah, which discuss the fall of Satan and his followers. Spiritual warfare, concept of spiritual war is prevalent in the Bible. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty to God for pulling down the strongholds. What's a stronghold? The way you think, the way you do things over and over and over, and habits. Weapons of our warfare pair down the strongholds. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Demonic spirits don't even have to bug somebody. You're so already hooked. You're just already hooked in your mindset. And you continually, I'm going to tell you something, you continually praise the devil by complaining about your condition. That's a boom, Vinny. You continue to praise the devil by complaining about your situation. He's laughing and clapping. Woo! He got her hooked. You know, they don't even have to do anything. You're supposed to tell. Although we walk in the flesh, we don't war after it. Pull down strongholds. So the spiritual realm significantly influences the physical world and the lives of individuals. Understanding this connection encourages believers to remain steadfast in their faith and encourage the unseen forces at work. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Boom.
Dudes. The war in the heavenlies. Conclusion. In summary, Johnny, can you scroll down a little bit? I'm sorry. Yes. In conclusion, there you go. The Bible presents a rich understanding of the spiritual realm, emphasizing the reality of the roles of angels and demons, the necessity of spiritual warfare, and the impact of this realm on believers' lives. Engaging with these teachings can deepen one's faith and awareness of the spiritual dynamics at play in the world. And look, are you looking at me? I'll turn my phone off here. called strongholds. You believe things and you repeat things because you always have. And can I give you, don't get mad. Because a lot of us, me, aren't free because we keep talking about how we got put into captivity. We lock ourselves in that condition because we won't stop talking about it. Stop praising the devil. Can I tell you something? You got no idea what we've been through, Michelle and I. You got no idea. And I'm not going to come here every day and tell you what they did. Oh, they did this, and they did this, and they did this. Yeah, I know, and I'm a new creature in Christ. Thank God that doesn't have any impact on me anymore. Praise the name of the Lord. I take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity of the obedience of Christ. And Lord, even though I'd like to see that guy get what's due him, Lord, I just thank you that you delivered me from it, Lord Jesus. That's how you praise. Come on in, Betty.
Boom. You know, I have to say, you talked about how to pray before, and I was thinking about our churches. I have to thank our churches for not teaching me how to pray or going out and expanding the kingdom and just to be a talker, not a doer. So, Coach, you've taught me how to pray. I've never confessed this to you. I will do it to you. When I first met you, you were praying over your land, and it was about 10 of us, and we prayed over your little child on your beautiful yeah. child on your property. Yeah. And when I left, I felt so low and so embarrassed because I really didn't know how to pray.
Wow.
So I apologize for that. It has always bothered me, and I didn't. So, but you've taught me how to use scripture, and I love doing warrior prayers. Yeah, so I don't know if you've noticed when I pray, it is always like warrior prayers to fight against those
demons. Amen. Because look, folks, you better realize that the person that you're upset with is there's a war going on in that guy's mind. There's a war. You understand? So rather than getting mad at him, which is easy for us to do, pray for him. Hey, not maybe right in front of him because he's not going to receive it. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, give him the mind of Christ. Make yourself real to him, Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, poor old Timmy. He's so disruptive. Don't tell. You're praising the Lord when you complain to God. Do you understand that? When you complain to God, you're praising the Lord. Wow. This is deep. This is good. Must be these dollar store glasses. Go on in, James.
Yeah. You know, it's. I guess a lot of times unbelief plays a lot of roles in how we pray. And if you pray for something, even if it's in a complaining mode, and because it has no faith, nothing takes place. Oh, Lord, heal me. And nothing takes place because you're not doing it in faith. You're not applying the word that brings faith. Mm-hmm. And real, and Paul in Hebrews chapter 3 kind of gives us a warning. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So when you pray for something and you don't see it come to pass over and over and over again, it can actually cause you to remove yourself from his presence because of unbelief. So, I mean, what you're saying is so right on because this word is what, you know, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word and the word was God and the word was God and made flesh. So
okay, Jesus, so James, let me help you all out there, right? Let me help all of you out. Anybody ever watch a boxing match? Ever watch a boxing match? Hey, Ray, jab, 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 right? We think we're going to knock him down with a jab. It's a war. You got to keep jabbing, hook. Be persistent in prayer. persistent in prayer about what the Lord says about the situation, not about the situation. And some of you go, jab, 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 jab. Oh, that devil just wearing me down. And you cancel all the effectiveness of what you've just been doing because it's a spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Doesn't it say that somewhere in the Bible? Don't quench the spirit. Don't pray for God to do something and then hoist your leg and pee on it after you're done praying it. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So I'm going to pray that the Lord's going to do this, and then I'm going to pee and tell everybody else, what's going on? It's just so awful what they're doing. No. Huh. Because as soon as you pray it, you believe it, but you don't believe it because you go gripe to everybody else about it. How you doing today, Ray? Oh, really? All right, see you tomorrow. I don't want to hear it. Can I pray for you? Yeah, Coach, would you pray for me? I pray for you. And then you go back again. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something, Coach. It's just been awful. Jeezy peasy. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The substance of it, faith is. Faith makes it appear, by the way. Go ahead, Randy.
You know, Coach, I'm not a big talker. I can go on, but I'm a pretty quiet person. I consider prayer as communication, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I speak all the time. I can speak towards something, which was what prayer means in the Greek. It means to it's prosecco. It means to towards something. But it's to put your mind toward. What you've been saying, Coach. So it's to put your mind towards. So what is prayer? With God, it's to put your mind on Him and to get in His presence. And sometimes, Coach, it's not us just speaking. It's us sitting and listening and meditating and hearing. And so prayer should be as much, and it's communication with God. It should be as much listening as it. You know, when you're boxing in a match, Coach, you could win the round with one or two punches. You don't have to do a whole lot. So it's not the quality, the quantity that makes prayer effective. It's the quality.
So, Randy, I go back to my boxing. I'm an old guy. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, Madison Square Garden. It went 15 rounds. And you know what we found out? That in the 12th round, Joe Frazier broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. And Muhammad Ali fought the next four rounds with a broken jaw. But he won the fight in the 12th round. Did you get what I said? Did you hear what I said? He fought four more rounds, but he lost it in the 12th round. His jaw was broken. He couldn't be himself. He couldn't fight. Sometimes prayers are instantaneous. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're not. I don't know how we got on this morning, but it's good. Anybody else? What we got? We got 7 minutes. I got something else I can pull up here.
So, Coach, connect prayer with peacemaking. Isn't a peacemaker someone who understands the situation and they speak right into it? They're not afraid to speak into it. So sometimes a peacemaker, he's not a loudmouth. He's very quiet, Coach. It's not about the amount of what you say is the quality of what comes out of your mouth, the words. So a really good peacemaker can be a bully, isn't a bully. He sometimes just understands, and he may just say a few words, and he just took over the situation.
So let me show you something. Some of you won't like it. A lot of you in here have Trump derangement syndrome. Hey, folks, you better realize this. The Lord raised up Donald Trump. Whether it's for good or for bad, He raised him up. All right, stop praying against him. Stop praying against Donald Trump. He's clearly God's man. Right? And I see some of the things that Trump says, and I think, are you kidding me? Like what he said about Archie Bunker's son-in-law. I mean, I thought, God, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And you don't want to know why? I'll tell you why. because he's teaching people, don't F with me. Don't F with me. I'm going to tell the truth about you. Don't F with me. That's the way I see it. He's an intimidator. He's a peacemaker. He ain't no peacekeeper. And we're not used to it, are we? Christians aren't used to it because we've been taught to be peacekeepers. Look, we'll get along with abortion. Oh, they're murdering babies. Oh, well, that's a women's right. Oh, they're teaching our children homosexuality. Well, you know, we're peacekeepers. And the Lord says, peacekeepers ain't blessed. Peacemakers are. So Trump yesterday, I saw, blew up another boat. Did some of you guys know this? He's blown up like 20 of them. Blown up 20 of those drug boats out there. People are griping and moaning and complaining. I wonder what the drug dealers are thinking. See, a real peacemaker cannot worry about public opinion, what people say. You can't worry. You just can't. You got to say the hard thing, man. Somebody's got their hand up. Where am I here? Who was it? Adam, did you have it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Coach.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, Coach, it was a great teaching today. I think for me, like one of the things that I found to be most effective later on in my walk with the Lord was imprecatory prayer, which you almost never hear anybody talk about.
That's
anymore,
true. You know? That's true. That's a whole teaching in its own. That's right. Hey, wasn't it Jesus? Vinny, get ready to come in here. I think it was Jesus who said, or was it Paul? Doesn't matter. Do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But telling the truth makes you an enemy, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, you're sleeping around with somebody you're not married to and you think God's going to bless you, dude? What? Are you drunk? Somebody's got to say that. Who says that? Peacemakers. Vinny.
So there's a lot of wailing and gnashing about the blowing up of these boats, right, Coach? But did you hear that back in 1986, Chuck the Schmuck Schumer wrote that exact law?
No, I didn't know that. Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. But see, look, friends, one of the first things you better understand is they're enemies of the cross. And you are going to make enemies. And what is an enemy of the cross? Anyone who preaches a different gospel. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. So you look at Congress. I would like to respond to my friend across the aisle. They're peacemakers. They're keepers. They're peacekeepers. They don't want anything to change. Trump calls them out by name, writes a little column about them, and everybody says, oh, he's so mean. Well, he's a peacemaker, folks. Whether you like it or not, he ain't Mr. Compromise. He's a peacemaker. And a lot of people don't like it. But you know what? Bible says we cry peace, peace when there is no peace. And so they want everybody in Congress to get along when they don't get along, when they're in the midst of a war. And they're trying to tell us to not fight because Christians, we love and we tolerate and we accept and we get along. You're reading a different Bible. Because those who are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, let me get closer, are controlled by some spirit. And ultimately, that's the battle. That's the battle. Spirit to spirit. What spirit are you of? See you tomorrow.